This morning, I'm going to talk about reasons to pray in the Holy Ghost more. Because I think, see, God wants to bring clarification of the gifting that he put in each one of us. But you're not going to get clarification without praying in tongues. It's just not going to happen. So the way he's going to communicate that clarification to us is by our praying in tongues more than we ever have before. We're living in a time where deception is great. It's a lot of people out there pretending to be Christians. You need to know. We must know and accept that God does nothing in the earth without mankind being involved. He needs your involvement. He's expecting it. He deserves it. So we should desire to be used by the Holy Spirit, since we are the temple, say temple, of the Holy Spirit. And then why you're born again? Because you're his temple. All right. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's start with verse 16. When you have it, say, I have it. And if you don't have it, say, I'm catching up. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So what he's saying, you've been denoted as a temple. That's sacred. So you got to understand something. That's just not where you say, okay, this is the Lord's body. No, you are special. Okay. You need to say, if God's going to do anything in the earth, he's going to use me. Wait a minute. A temple is designed for use, right? The reason we are in this building, because we plan on what? Using it. And you know, in some countries, they would denote this as our temple. Because this is where we come and we congregate for use of the Lord. You're supposed to be his temple wherever you are. And if God's going to get anything done in the earth, he's going to use me. Why? Because I am his temple. And he has a right to use me. Now, Jesus was getting ready to leave the disciples, and he said to them, now I'm going to paraphrase this account because I'm not going back and read it, that I'm leaving you, but not without a comforter. Look at John 14, 26. I'm going to help somebody out because somebody needs a scripture. I want to read it from the Amplified. John 14, verse 26. But the helper, come on, catch up, people, y'all. I hear pages still flipping. Come on. Y'all know. But the helper, who is the comforter, the advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father would send in my name or in my place to represent me and act on my behalf. Now, who's doing that? The Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. Oh. So the Holy Spirit got specific assignments unto us. He says, I'm going to send you divine help. Ooh, Jesus. And he says also in, I think that's verse 7 and 8, if I'm not mistaken. No, it's chapter 16, verse 7 and 8. Same, John 16, verse 7 and 8. Now, Jesus said, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you without some help. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. You'll never know the Holy Spirit. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Ah. He says, if I don't go away, then the helper will never come to you. Now, this is the age of the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to come to grips with that. Because sometimes we handle the Holy Spirit like he's a second-class God. And listen to me, don't nobody get offended listening online. And we put all the emphasis on Jesus. Jesus told you don't pray to him. Although y'all keep right on praying to him. He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name. So you're still praying to Jesus. You're out of order. And if your prayer don't get answered, you shouldn't be offended. You need to learn something. He told you not to pray to him. He says, I'm no longer going to be the emphasis. The Holy Spirit is now the emphasis in the earth. And he sent him so we could get to know the Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus. Jesus said, I'm leaving you with the same person, said the same person, that has kept and empowered me. I'm not giving you a foreigner or somebody, something new that's never been tested. I'm giving you the same person that kept and empowered me while I walked the earth. Whew. And I want you to receive him. That's what Jesus was telling them. I want you to receive him. Accept him. Become friends with him so he can use you like he has used me. Ooh, Jesus. And he's going to lead you into all truth. He would never deceive or lie to you. You can't blame God when you go into error. Do you understand the privilege we have to walk this earth filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, Jesus. We are his temple right now. Say, right now, I'm the temple of God. See, you don't have to be flawless, but you must be available and powered up. To be used, you don't have to be flawless. You got to be available. And you got to be powered up. You got to be hooked up to the source that brings the power. Ooh. The Holy Spirit is the power to get yourself together. You trying to fix you before you do something for the Lord. You ain't gonna ever get it done. Because you can't fix you. You can help the Holy Spirit, but you can't fix you. That's his job. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody, y'all better pray in here listening. The Holy Spirit is the power to get yourself together. He will help regulate your thoughts. He'll help break old habits. He'll help you to defeat your enemy. He'll help you to walk away from stuff and some people you don't need to hang out with. It's that person that you don't give any attention to. He the one to help you do that. Because you can't do it by yourself. That's why he was sent. And what we do, we spend a lot of our own energy trying to get stuff done. And we wear ourselves out. And it still don't get done. That same power that was breathed on the 120 disciples in the upper room is the same power that has been released in us today. It didn't diminish in strength or ability. Now we should desire, say desire, to see a demonstration of God's power through us. So I can desire as much as I want to. I want to see a demonstration of God's power in this house, in our nation, in our communities like never before. How about you? That's what I'm desiring. I desire that. Now, what I want you to stand up for, we're going to pray in tongues for 5 seconds. I know you can do that in 5 seconds. Come on. You're going to get some exercise this morning, so don't think you're going to sit there and work me. Stand up and pray in tongues. This school 101, Karandele Bokosata. And don't pray cute. Kandele Bokosata. Shandele Borosata. Kandala Barasata. Father, I thank you that you've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Hey, that the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God is committed to you. He does not think about you the way you think of yourself. I'm going to help you this morning by the Holy Spirit. He is so committed to your spiritual development more than you are, because he has an assignment to use you, the temple. He is committed to maturing you. If you feel like you're being stretched to your wit's end, it's time to dig your heel, because you got some more stretching to go. You're always going to be growing. This is the greatest and finest hour of the Holy Spirit. He is pouring out on all who will receive. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29 talks about this outpouring. It talks about, and we're living in that day. And I tell you, I'm not going to be left behind. You can stay behind if you want to, but I'm gone. Joel 2, 28, verse 29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. See, just because you got a little age on you, the Lord didn't tell you go somewhere and sit on a corner and do nothing. He said, you're supposed to be dreaming something. You're supposed to have some plans in action. Oh, Jesus. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids of those days will I pour out my spirit. 1 John 2:20 says, but you have had the Holy Spirit poured out on you by Christ, and so all of you know the truth. The King James Version says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Ha! The Holy Spirit gives you the unction. He is the one teaching and training you. You got to understand something. This is what Moses desired. This is what Abraham desired to see. They was waiting for this day. They kept believing. And they embrace the promise of this day that we are living in. All the patriarchs of the Bible desire to see this day that we are living in. All of the apostles, even though Apostle Paul, they were at the beginning, but they desired to see the day of the Holy Spirit being full blown in the earth. Jesus soon to come back. So the Holy Spirit has to get work done. Please know that God is not angry with you, but he needs you in this final hour. You got to come off your pity party. You got to quit whipping yourself up. Okay, you did something dumb. Okay, get over it. You said, but it don't work like that. Yes, it does. It worked just like that. All right, let's go to school. Anybody ready to go to school? Reasons why you should pray in tongues more. Number one, if you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, you have been given a deposit that allows you to speak in the heavenly language. Ah, Jesus. I told you some time ago that every kingdom has its own language. Remember me telling you that? And so does heaven. Now, this language is deposited during the new birth of salvation, but it's released when you yield to the filling or the overflowing of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit comes in. This is a second dimension of your salvation package. I know a lot of people say, well, you get filled when you get born again. Now, it can happen at the altar simultaneously, but it is still a second dimension of the salvation, and you need it. You must have him if you're going to have power. But there's a hunger and a thirst that must come according to Matthew 5:6. He says, blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They are the ones that will be filled. Oh. You mean it's not going to happen automatically? Absolutely not. You know, you ever been hungry? I mean, real hungry. No, I don't guess most of y'all, most people today really don't know what poverty is. Because we ain't got hungry enough yet. You can still go make you a bologna sandwich. You got something in your house to eat, even if it's not what you want. You got something in your house to eat. But when there's nothing in the cupboard or the refrigerator, and you hungry, and your hunger has hunger. I know about that. Went to bed a few times as a child on sweet water. That number water with sugar. When your hunger has hunger, the Bible says you'll get filled. You got to do the hungering. He's not going to chase you down to make you hungry. You understand that one? He's not going to make you be hungry. That means you got to be willing to sacrifice something to be hungry. You ever been on a fast? That means you got to sacrifice your food so you can fast. Eating is not the fast. The fast is designed to break down your flesh so you can hear more clearly. Ah, Jesus. Now, there are some of you who have the initial feeling of the Holy Spirit, but you don't pray consistently. I'm getting to my point number one. I ain't got there yet. Very few believers practice praying in tongues daily. We do it in a crisis moment. I'm going to talk about you next Sunday. You need to show up. And then on the other hand, those that do pray in tongues don't always understand the value of doing it. So it becomes a chore to pray in tongues because we don't understand the value of it. Because if you really understood the value of praying in tongues, you would be desperate to get into your prayer closet. You couldn't wait to get home and pray. Nobody couldn't stop you from praying in tongues if you understood the value. You don't always recognize the weight praying in tongues carry. We handle that lightly, as though there's an option when it shouldn't be an option. So you were praying tongues, but without expecting to be built up. It's fruitless if you're praying in tongues and you don't have any expectation of being built up. That's what the Bible says you're supposed to do. According to Jude chapter 1, verse 20, he says, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Man. So we don't always understand how praying in tongues interacts in our everyday life. Therefore, we are inconsistent. Because you don't see the relevance in your everyday life. So, Pastor, tell me, what are the advantages of praying in the Holy Ghost every day? Point number one, when you pray in tongues, you pray the perfect will of God. Point number one, when you pray in tongues, you are praying the perfect will of God. Now, I don't know how important that is to you, but it's very important to me. It is extremely important to me. Look at Romans 8, verse 26. You know this verse. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit himself helpeth our infirmities. What infirmities? Because we don't know what we should pray. We don't know how we should pray. You say, didn't you teach this a little while back? You must have missed it. Because the Holy Spirit sure told me to preach it again today. So you must need it. Maybe you're ready to hear it today. We don't know how to pray the way we should pray for a situation. But the Spirit himself making intercession. So he's the go-between. Jesus, help us, Lord. Help us, Holy Spirit. He's there to help because he's the helper. He's there to help. And you can groan and he understands it. And he'll send that same groaning to the throne room. Oh, Jesus. Sometimes when the words won't flow, you can just go, Jesus. Hallelujah. And it's being interpreted. The devil don't understand it, and I'm loving it. Because it's a direct link to my heart that's being read and sent. See, listen, there are things that you don't know, but you need to be made aware of. So how do I get it? Because your natural ear, say my natural ear, is not capable of picking it up. It can't hear what you need to hear in the spirit. Because your natural hearing operates on a lower frequency. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Ooh. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. That's what we have received, right? That we might know, say that we might know. That I might know, make it personal, that I might know. Say it again, that I might know. The things that are freely given to me. I'm not going to know this because I can't pick it up just trying to read the scripture. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. See, there's a world of wisdom that the world has that teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Who doing the teaching? Comparing what? Read it out. Spiritual things with spiritual. Oh. But the natural man receiving not the things of the Spirit of God, verse 14, for they are foolishness to your flesh. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. See, there are some things that we've been trying to pick up in our natural understanding that you're not going to ever find. You can't get it. You're going to get a misinterpretation of the word. This is why a lot of denominations rise up, because they get a little bit here and a little bit there, but they're using their intellect. And because the building is filled, don't mean they're right. I heard one minister say, small has become the new number for church. And we shouldn't be ashamed of being small. You just need to be powerful and right. Now, here's the problem of praying out of your intellect. When we pray out of our intellect, our natural understanding of a situation, we tend to pray biased. Our prayers are biased. And for those that don't know what the word bias means, I'll give you a definition. I know you. And it's spelled B-I-A-S. It means you pray, you're prejudiced when you pray. Now, that's a new word for some of y'all Christians. And that means you're praying in favor of, or you're praying against one thing, or a person or a group, and you consider them to be unfair. So when you, in other words, we tend to pray what we think is right or what we want. And we expect God to answer according to what we want and how we want God to do it. That's praying biasly. We're actually asking God to settle a matter the way we want it settled. Even if that's not the right way for it to be settled, you're praying and asking God. That's what James talked about, you praying amiss, because you're praying with prejudice. You're praying with unfairness in your heart. Oh, y'all, what happened? Y'all ain't singing and clapping no more now. I must have hit something. Therefore, too many times we don't get what we think we deserve because we are not praying in the Holy Spirit to find the true answer. We just want things settled the way we want them to be settled. So we pray our feelings. We pray our feelings, not the word. You're praying your feelings. They wrong me, Lord, and I'm feeling. Feelings, nothing but feelings. He didn't tell you to pray your feelings. So we pray our feelings, and your feelings are going to steer you away from the genuine will of God. You're not going to ever get the right answer as long as you pray your feelings. This is why you should pray more in tongues. However, what we should desire to become is a sharpshooter or a sniper in prayer. Got any gunsmen in the room? Pull out your weapon. A sharpshooter and the sniper are both skilled in shooting. But a sniper can take the target out from a greater distance. Oh, Jesus, I want to be the sniper. I don't want it to get up in my face before I recognize I got a problem. I want to see it coming and take it out before it gets to do damage. Oh, Jesus. As a sniper, you hit the target every time. That's why you've been trained. You shouldn't be called a sniper if you can't hit a target. And you got to hit at it twice. Jesus, I just said something. You need to put that license down. You're not a sniper yet. Take too many bullets. You might be one in training, but you ain't there yet if you got to use 5 bullets to hit that one target. The sniper says, and you gone. Hallelujah. Anybody learning from but me? See, you hit the target every time. Right now, your pastor, all I'm trying to do is to get you to pick up your spiritual weapon and just fight. We're going to train you to be a shooter or a sniper, but you are not fighting. I can't help you if you're not fighting. You can't get trained if you're not fighting. So you don't want to pray from your mind. Because it's going to get you in trouble. And you're going to think you heard God with an answer that he didn't give you. Because you're praying out of your intellect with a desire, with a prejudiced desire for it to turn out in your favor. However, when we pray in tongues, we disconnect from our mind. And we bypass, say bypass, all thoughts altogether. You don't even have to use your mind to pray in tongues. It don't need to work. Okay. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let me help you. Let me help you, please. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. Are you there? All right. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, talking about praying in the Holy Ghost, my spirit prayeth. Who doing the praying? Who doing the praying? My spirit praying. And but my what? My understanding is what? Unfruitful. My mind is unfruitful. It can't keep up. What is it then? He says, I'll pray in the spirit and I'll pray with understanding because some situations are going to call for both. But he said, don't depend on your mind to pray. You might start out praying in English. Father, I thank you so much for what you've done. And you need to go in the tongue. See, y'all spend too much time reminiscing, bothering God with all that mess that you done had today. He'll want all that stuff. If you start praying in tongues, it'll go away. And it says, the Amplified says, for if I pray in the unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. Now, that should have helped you. See? That's why you got to stop praying from your mind. Point number two, praying in the Holy Ghost gives us a divine code of communication. Praying in the Holy Ghost provides a divine code of communication. This is such a strategic code that it cannot be broken or twisted by hell. Hell cannot intercept it, interrupt it. It cannot decode it. It's understood only by the Holy Spirit. Now you know why you've been challenged so much not to pray in tongues. Remember, the spirit realm is not just filled with good angels. Sometimes I think we live like there's only good angels out there. You know, the spirit realm, there's an unholy side of the spirit realm out there. How many of you realize that? Do you know Satan is a spirit? You know demons are spirits. And Satan has empowered people like you and I who will yield to him to do his bidding in the earth. He's got his own kingdom set up. He's a copycat, but you got to know he's present in the spirit realm. Now, so does God by the Holy Spirit empower us to do his bidding in the earth. Then when scripture says Satan transformed himself as an angel of light, what do you think he did that for? It's called deception. He came looking just like some of y'all Christians, talking your lingo. And if you don't pray in the Holy Ghost, you can't discern him. You're not going to discern him. You're going to hear him say, well, I know Jesus. And nothing about his life ever changed. And some of y'all more committed to these stars and celebrities. Nobody in this room that way. But some of you listen to what they say, give you advice more than this Bible. And they full of it. And it ain't called the Holy Spirit. Because Satan has agents in the earth, just like God has us in the earth. So we must allow ourselves to be built up and trained through praying in tongues. Why? We have this divine code. We can know what the devil has laid as a snare for us by praying in tongues. This code that we've been given is for our personal usage. Praying in the Holy Spirit gives us the advantage over the spiritual dimension. That's the only way you're going to win in the spirit realm is through the Holy Spirit. We can know what the devil has laid out as a snare for us by praying in tongues. We have the advantage over the dark spiritual area, and our prayers cannot be interrupted or interpreted. It is the greatest form of communication given to us by the Father God. This is why, as we mature in Christ, we should pray more in tongues than English. Because your awareness of the spirit realm becomes more. It increases more. English is our native language. It's used primarily to give orders or to decree a thing. Now we get the two mixed up. You'll need your English to decree something over your house, over your life, over your money, over your health. Our prayer life should be tongues more than English. I'm going to keep saying that. There's a point in our Christian journey that English gets lesser and lesser and lesser, and tongues become more and more and more. And you find yourself, the more you pray in tongues, the more you want to pray in tongues. I'm going to help you. And we should pray throughout the day in tongues. You can be, woo, Jesus. Listen to me, I'm going to make a statement that might bust some of y'all gut. Imagine what would happen in your life if you prayed for 8 hours. If you can work an 8-hour job, you mean God can't get 1 8-hour out of you? What about 6 hours? 5 hours? Jesus said to the disciples in the garden, you mean you can't pray 1 hour? God can't get 1 hour out of you in a day? But you can work 8 hours? And you can't give him 1 hour of praying in tongues for your benefit? The dumbest thing I ever seen in my life. Your emphasis is in the wrong place because you're more committed to your job than you are to your own development. I'm going to tell you why next week you need to come back next Sunday, because I'm going to tear you off next Sunday. I'm just trying to warn you in advance. So if we can work 8 hours, can't we give God 1 hour a day? Point number three. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, it draws you closer to God. See, intimacy is what God is after. Not superficial. And not like a superficial person. Praise the Lord. It's so good to see you. And they really don't even mean it. It's just something they do. It's superficial. You don't feel no love coming out of there. You just feel something. They just do it. How you doing? And that's the way we handle God. But he's looking for intimacy. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. And it talks about the grace While you find it, I'm going to go ahead and talk about it. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. Now, here's the point I want to bring. And the communion, the fellowship, the intimacy of the Holy Ghost be with you all. That's what Paul was pronouncing on those that were with him and those today. That's what been, it's a communion. It's an intimacy. It's a fellowship that gets formed between you and God. See, praying in tongues brings you into the inner courts of heaven. Tongues got a way of cutting through all the flubber. It just cut through all the chase. It don't even bother with all that nonsense right there. It just goes straight to the throne. And you need to know this when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. I don't care if it sounds like da, 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 da. You say da, da until it change and become a language that's fluid. You pray in the Holy Ghost. Because that's the way you're going to talk directly to the Father. Woo. All the business of day, it transcends all natural activities and escorts us right into the presence of God. Man, that's what your praying in tongues does. It puts you right at the feet of the Father God. Oh, Jesus. And Romans 6 talks about an unbroken fellowship. It says in the Amplified, for the death that he died to sin, ending his power and paying the sinner's debt once and for all. And the life that he lives to glorify God in unbroken fellowship with him. Man, don't you want to have that? 1 Corinthians 1 and 9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. See, there's a fellowship he's reaching for. And it can only be done by praying in the Holy Ghost. Point number four. I'm going over my time a little bit, so y'all put your watch down. Praying in tongues develop your spiritual muscles. Point number four. Praying in tongues develop your spiritual muscles. Turn to John 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet, because that Jesus had not been glorified. Come on. So as you pray in tongues, you develop what we call a knowing on the inside. You could be praying in the Holy Ghost, and in your innermost being, it's almost like muscles are tightening. You can feel yourself getting strong. You can sense yourself being strengthened. You'll begin to jump at the entrance of the word. See, coming to church will stop being just something you do. You'll be happy to, because why? I'm gathering around the word, and that muscle is getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. If you persevere in tongues, if you go past the outer courts, keep praying in tongues until the connection of your spirit take ascendancy over your flesh and your flesh stop talking. You ain't prayed through yet if your flesh still louder than your spirit, man. How do I know I'm doing that? Because you keep right on praying in tongues. And you keep, because that's why your flesh got to surrender. You might be saying, let me, look, it says, every time you pray in tongues like this, your muscle gets stronger. Now, here's something I need you to learn and understand. You don't ever know when a demand is going to be put on that muscle. Y'all hear my son talk about going to the gym all the time. Well, you know, as I got my own thing. They're going to the gym, but mama got her own thing. It's working. But let me tell you something. That spiritual muscle has to be built just like the natural muscle. If you don't ever know when you're going to need a demand put on it. Back injuries happen because we don't use anything to strengthen our back. So we go to pick up a box, we almost break our back. Because no strength has been developed in the muscles. Oh, Jesus. I know. See, every time you pray in tongues, but see, there comes a time as you begin to, that muscle gets tight and it begins to get stronger and stronger. Rivers, see, the Bible talks about rivers of living water. Huh. Now, it's not as hard for you to hear by the Spirit of God. It's not as difficult for you to get into that place where you can hear his voice because you got that muscle strong. See, when you don't do this as a regular thing, it's like priming the pump every time you go to the pump. When you go to the faucet and the water just pour down. I had a faucet in my kitchen and the water was coming out, but it was just like it wasn't coming out the way it should have. It wasn't the way it was when we first moved in the house. I changed the faucet. And I hit that little level. And that water, I said, oh, I had to catch myself. I said, we got real water coming out of here. let me get back to my note. You don't ever know when a demand is going to be put on that muscle. You never know when you're going to have to use that muscle. This is why you must do it every day. You don't know when you might encounter a demon, a problem, a sickness, a disease. You don't know what's out there waiting for you. But we've gotten lazy in praying in tongues. And I'm going to talk about you next Sunday. You don't ever know when something might come your way. Because you got to say, like I told you, there's demons out there in that spirit realm. And they are waging war against you. So when the crisis hit, it's not the time to try to develop the muscle. You can't do enough crunches in the crisis to get abs. It's a process over time. And that muscle will begin to show itself. Because why? Over time you have developed it and you have strengthened it. So you got to start praying now. Okay, stand to your feet. Let's pray in tongues. Give you a little more exercise. I know we're going a little long, but that's all right. You need this today. Come when I come by next Sunday, I'm going to tell y'all. Now, here's what I don't want. I don't want you praying cute. Put your hands on your belly. And let's start praying in tongues. And you're speaking to that muscle. And you ain't got to try to be all articulate. Come on. Pray into like somebody's after your life. Pray like you in the fight of your life. Speak to that river inside of you. Speak to the river inside of you. Speak to the river inside of you. Flow, river, flow. Up out of our bellies. Kandaramaki sata bashata. Flow, river, flow. Kandalamasata. Shandeleboroko sata. Satalabashata. Satalabakatalabashata. Sendalabako shatalabasonde. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Didn't that feel good? Glory. Guess what happened? The more you make that muscle stronger, the greater your discernment. See, the stronger your muscle, the greater your discernment. The more you can see and hear clearly, the more you can hear God talking to you, the more he'll get involved in your everyday life because you're making that muscle strong by praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And you'll be able to judge matters with a clear mind. Hallelujah. Point number five, praying in tongues builds up your faith. Jude chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Ooh, come on, hurry up, people. Get there, Jude. Chapter 1, verse 20, 21. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. So how am I stay in love? Because you're not going to do this in your natural abilities. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The Passion Translation says it like this. But you, my delightful love friends, constantly and progressively, that means it's not going to be an overnight thing. It's a progressive thing. You progressively build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith. So how my faith going to be strong? By praying in the Holy Spirit. Ooh. Faith comes by hearing what? The word of faith. You got to hear the word of faith, not just any word. And then it says, so you keep yourselves in the love of God by praying in the Holy Ghost, because there's always an assault being planned against you by the devil. Praying in the Holy Ghost will prepare you for the events of the day. So to flow in love, you must pray in tongues. Pray every moment you get. You can pray in tongues driving down the highway, while cooking, while reading the Bible, while giving your child a bath. You can pray in tongues. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says. Pray without ceasing. How are you going to do that? You can't always go get in the corner on your knees. How are you going to do that? You pray in the Holy Spirit. And you can do that under your breath. You could be at your desk on your job and pray in tongues, and wisdom will rest on you. He'll give you an idea of what to do something in your job that caused you to get promoted. Oh, Jesus. It says pray without ceasing. That means never stop praying. Pray all the time. That's what it means. Now, there's always going to be a person or a situation that will try to take you out of the love of God. Why? Look at Galatians 5, 6. It's always trying to get you out of love, out the love walk. And it's not ironic that love and faith is used in this same passage, because they work together. Look at verse 6, Galatians 5, 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. So how you got started doesn't matter. We all come, if you're born again, you're all in the same body. But faith with worketh by what? That's why he always trying to get you out of love. That's why he always trying to keep you angry. Always upset about something. Somebody always hurting your feelings. So your faith won't work. You can't believe for nothing when you're upset. Oh, Jesus. Because faith expresses itself through love. If you are not built up, you will find yourself arguing with people who should not see you in this weak condition. And usually we do that right before the world. The devil wait to put you in a spot with a sinner that you've been trying to win. And that's the day you ain't prayed enough to kill a flea. Watch this. So instead of cursing people out, Speak in tongues until they fall out of the power or they'll leave you alone. Amen. See, you're going to have to become radical. You're sitting there, Pastor, that's just too much drama there. That's why you ain't got no victory. Because you're not willing to be dramatic. I am. You bring all your drama to everybody else. You might as well be a drama person and going out there and get some victory. Turn it into victory. Because people are going to say things. Why? Because they're looking for a human response from you. They want you to act humanly and not spiritually. And you got to fool them. You pray in tongues. Watch what happens. That atmosphere begin to shift. They're going to say, okay, I see you one of them, right? You one of them. Yeah, I'm one of them. You need me to pray for you? I'd be like Sinbad. Hey, hey, hey. You got to become radical. But if you're ashamed, not going to happen. Point number six, and I'm getting ready to close in just a minute or two. You will accomplish more with less. You will accomplish more with less by praying in the tongues, by praying in the Holy Ghost every day. You will not have to put so much natural effort and brute strength into a situation. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 17. I'm getting ready to close, but I know this is good, and I got to finish this. Ephesians 1, verse 17 through 19. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. What just went on. We got some work done, but did not have to go crazy to get it done. Wisdom showed up. Resources showed up. Power showed up. Woo! I want that on my job. I don't know about you. When you walk up on a problem, or you need insight in a building project, or in buying a home, or how to handle a situation on your job, praying in tongues puts you on your hard drive, the correct answer, the correct plan, the blueprint for the building. And when you need to execute a plan or answer the matter, the download is already present. All you have to do is activate. Oh! You ain't got to go get in the closet. Because you need the answer right then. Praying in tongues, make the answer available now. Yeah. Woo, Jesus. This is why you got to build yourself up. Those downloads will now become activated. And you'll be able to do more with less. You'll be able to do more with less resources, less money, less people. This church called Rapture Worship Center is an example of praying in tongues every single day. We should not be renting this building based on the people we have. But God. The word would say you can't afford it. God says, move in. Ho! Kehandala makosata. Go in and possess the land. Huh? This is why you got to pray in the Holy Ghost. You never know when God wants you to get something great to happen in your life, but you're not ready. Oh, handalamakosata. But praying in the Holy Spirit gave us the strategy and the wisdom with the resources that we already had. So now we're in this building. Are we meeting the need every single month? I get it to them before the due date. Hey, that's the kind of God I serve. Don't talk to me, yo trash. I'm not available. Shh. Now see, you get the mind of Christ as you pray in the Holy Ghost. And that mind of Christ begin to operate through you. So you don't have to do the preliminaries when you need it. You missed it. See, how many of y'all know that when a crisis comes, you can't do no preliminaries? You can't go and fast 3-4 days when you got a crisis right now that got to be solved right now. You got to be prayed up. Come on, say, I got to pray in tongues all the time. Why? Because there will be a moment that I would need wisdom, and divine wisdom is accessed because I pray in the Holy Spirit. Woo! Point number 7. This is the final one. Praying in tongues will eliminate mental clutter. Praying in tongues will eliminate mental clutter. Your mind be scattered all over the place. You got 99, 29, 49, 39 projects going at the same time, and they are all incomplete. Listen, can I say something to you? The pandemic came not just to create fear in the earth, but to confuse and control our thinking. And 3 years later, the church is still unfocused about what really matters. And because we've been unfocused, new laws about education, new laws about health regulation, new laws are being implemented. Why implemented? While the church is still unfocused. Because the mind is cluttered with junk. Trying to get a loaf of bread. Trying to get a free handout. Going on every government program they got out there. Trying to get something for nothing instead of trusting this word. Your mind cluttered. A cluttered mind keeps you from focusing on what should be done right now. That's why you need to pray in tongues, because he'll tell you what you need to attend to right now. Sometimes you don't know where to start in trying to clean up the mess in your house, in your job or whatever. But if you pray in tongues, he'll tell you. Start right here. Do this. Don't do that. When your mind is cluttered, your endurance is short. Praying is a chore because your mind too cluttered. But the only way you're going to declutter is to pray. You have a difficult time listening to teaching for more than 15 minutes. You sit in church and your thoughts are all over the place. Why? You're a good starter, but you're not a good finisher. Your family is frustrated with you because you never seem to get anything completed. But you'll save yourself. But, say but, as you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, your thoughts will become uncluttered. Now, some of you think and you overthink. You think and then you think and then you rethink and then you think it again. Praying tongues will help you too. But you must pray until your flesh stop talking. This means I got to give time to praying in tongues. You might start out praying and your flesh might say, you haven't eaten yet. Aren't you hungry? Ignore the flesh. The phone will ring just as you're about to pray. Ignore the phone. The flesh will have to be brought under subjection to get this decluttering done. Your mind will get organized as you pray in the Holy Ghost. And what you will discover is as the Holy Spirit brings order to your mind is your true genius capabilities. Man, oh man. You thought you didn't know nothing, but you got a lot in you. But you don't know it yet. Ah, Jesus. You will discover how smart God has really made you. You will be able to comprehend things that you thought you could not understand. Your creativity will take a leap. It will be quickened inside of you. Fresh ideas will be rolling out of you. Ooh, Jesus. So together, let us make this year the year we finish projects that we started. Ha ha ha, glory, glory. We are ineffective because we don't finish things. And we don't finish things because our minds have been cluttered. You've been living out of your natural strength, and you are worn down. You are weary, and you feel like you want to quit. But the truth is, your spirit is empty. It's hungry. Our culture is on a spiral downward. Evil is prevalent and getting worse. People will do everything they can to cause you to discredit your testimony. But you keep it by praying in the Holy Ghost. But. Praying in the Holy Spirit will build yourself up and keep yourselves in the love of God. Come on, stand to your feet.